scripture reading today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll read verses 18 through 20 and verse 26. Now Samuel was serving the Lord. He was a young boy clothed in a linen priestly vest. His mother would make him a small robe and take it to him every year when she went up with her husband to offer annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife. May the Lord replace the child, this woman, that you gave back to the Lord. Then they would return home. Verse 28. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel kept growing up and was more and more like the boy liked by both the Lord and the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Perhaps a little backstory is in order. Who was Samuel? Who were his parents, and why did his mom keep taking him all those robes? Samuel's dad was named Elkanah. The opening verse of the book, 1 Samuel, tells us that Elkanah was from Ramathim. He was a Zuphite from the highlands of Ephraim. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. And he was a son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Zuph. His biographical sketch goes on to tell us that Elkanah had two wives, one named Hannah and the other Peninnah. Having spent so much time on the details of who Elkanah was, not much time is left to tell us about who Hannah or Peninnah were. Simply that Peninnah had children and Hannah didn't. A short description, but it spoke volumes. The fact that Peninnah had children and Hannah didn't set the stage for ongoing distress and family conflict that resulted in deep despair for Hannah. Every year, Elkanah and his family made the 20-something mile pilgrimage to Shiloh to offer sacrifices to God. Shiloh was a place in which to do that prior to the days of the temple. Every year, Elkanah gave Peninnah and all her sons and all her daughters, each a portion of the sacrifice. Every year, Elkanah gave Hannah her portion. Every year, there sat Hannah with her portion, just one portion, because, after all, she had no children. Every year at the pilgrimage, Hannah was reminded of who she was. She was one of Elkanah's two wives. She was the one who had no children. Every year, Hannah prayed for a son. Every year, she had none. Returning to Shiloh didn't seem to be making any difference until it did. The opening chapter of 1 Samuel tells us that one year, realizing the pilgrimage really wasn't her party, Hannah was very upset and she couldn't stop crying as she prayed to the Lord. Hannah's tears of despair flowed forth as a river of prayer. People with that kind of hurt can be misunderstood at best. They can be judged, maybe even kicked out. Old Eli, the priest, didn't want others to be made uncomfortable or the holiness of Shiloh to be defiled by the story of human sorrow. So he proceeded to kick Hannah out. But Hannah had not come all of that way to be judged or removed. She refused to let old Eli define who she was. No, sir. She was a woman, but she stood up boldly to Eli, saying, "I am a very sad woman. Don't think I'm some good-for-nothing woman. Anyway, I wasn't talking to you. I come here to talk to God." Hannah wasn't about to let that be the end of her story. Not yet. Later in chapter 1, we read, "So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, which means I asked the Lord for him." In an act of thanksgiving for God answering her prayer, Hannah dedicated her son Samuel back to God to serve alongside Eli as God's priest. Hannah literally took Samuel to church and left him there. Which brings us to this morning's scripture reading. Every year, when it was time for Elkanah's family pilgrimage to Shiloh, Hannah would go and visit little Samuel. Every year, she would gift him a gift. Every year, it was the same gift, and a homemade one at that. Never a Game Boy, never Bluetooth headphones, never an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model BB rifle with a compass in stock, not even a football. Every year, the same thing. A robe. Again. Can you imagine being Samuel on the first day of school? I mean, think about all of the social pressure. It's the only morning kids actually want to roll out of bed and are excited to get ready to go. They have secured as many new school supplies as they can be afforded, from backpacks to lunchboxes. And the clothes. Don't forget the clothes. Whether you had kids, have kids, or were a kid, you know how much planning goes into dressing for school for the first day of school. You think it takes a long time to go shopping and get through the tax-free weekend lines to buy school clothes. The amount of attention and planning given to selecting the perfect outfit for the first day of school is exponentially greater. Even after all of the planning, laying out everything, and redesigning the outfit, there is still a lot of doubt. Is it all right? No, it can't be just all right. It has to be perfect. You don't want to blow establishing the first good impression. This is where the parents come in. Time for a fit check. For several fit checks, actually. A fit check is where every outfit, every one of them, is put on and evaluated for perfection. Was it just my kids, or did you have to do fit checks at your house, too? Maybe we still do. Then there's Samuel. Maybe there was a time in his adolescent years where, just trying to make a point, he was getting tired of the same robe. He put on last year's robe just to see if Hannah would notice. Of course, after all the work adding the length to the new robe, and after all the wear and tear of a whole year on the old one, she absolutely noticed. Samuel probably just smiled and said, "My bad." I can imagine Hannah gave a lot of thought to the robes she was making for her son every year. It was a priestly robe, a vestment for God's service. Her thoughts had to drift to Samuel's vows of dedication about the purity of life to which he was committed as a priest before God. Perhaps she thought about the clothes her son would never wear. He would never wear one of those faddish hoodies. No name brand athletic shoes, not so much as a t-shirt displaying school spirit, which with every stitch of every robe, Hannah thought of Samuel's life and the purpose to which his life had been dedicated before the Lord. Each robe would speak a powerful message of her affirmation and encouragement to Samuel. Verse 26 says, Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, tells us that with each year, Hannah made Samuel a new robe that was cut to his size. Each robe accommodated Samuel's yearly growing. The picture Peterson paints in the word cutting is that of cutting your way forward through a forest or a jungle as pioneers would, always developing, always progressing and advancing. Herein lies an image for us as another school year begins. We expect our children to grow. The school clothes we buy for them are always bought with growing room. But this sermon is not about school clothes, and it's not just about kids. It's a crucial lesson for all of us in regard to our spiritual stature and growth. It speaks to us as individuals and as a congregation. We are all challenged to cut our way forward, slowly making our way, one step at a time, blazing a new trail into places we have never gone before. If we were given a new spiritual robe this year, would we need a bigger one? One with growing room? Or would last year's robe do just fine? Walking out for a fit check in a new spiritual robe that doesn't allow for growing perspectives will result in a noticeable bind when it comes to embracing paradoxes and polarities of life. You want something that gives you room to embrace life in all of its fullness and in its totality. A robe that gains approval in any fit check will need to allow growing room for a larger image of who God is. Hopefully, your understanding, or at least your encounter with God, has stretched the stitches of last year's robe. We need growing room to be able to expand our understanding of a God who is much larger than we first imagined or could understand. At this point, you want to have a lot of room for growth. Let Samuel's fit check remind us that we also need a robe with growing room when it comes to our concern for others and an interest in the greater good of others. We must have enough space for a wider focus, one that goes beyond ourselves and our own needs. Being handed a bigger robe tells us that we need to grow one step at a time, blazing a new trail into places we've never gone before. We are challenged to empower and encourage others to do their own growing and developing, to make progress of their own. As school begins, it's time for a fit check. There's a classroom and more lessons awaiting all of us, and it's time to be given another new role, a spiritual one. One with growing. Try it on for size. Don't cast it aside because it looks too baggy or it's not quite your style. Wrap it around yourself. Wear it. And grow in